I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the message of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, redeeming human beings. I'm not ashamed of that message. Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone, everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The words of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that's your cue. That lets you know that you have tuned in to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're delighted to come to you every day at the same time. Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're your friendly neighborhood Messianic synagogue up in Bloomfield Hills. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. Rabbi Lauren Jacobs and myself, Rabbi Glenn Harris. And we would love for you to visit the website, and we'd love for you to visit the congregation. We'll talk more about how and when you can do that later on in the show. Rabbi Glenn in, we're coming to you live today from the spacious and congenial studios of Faith Talk 1500. And we've got a special guest on with us today, somebody that I believe many of the people in our Jesus Made Me Kosher audience have heard before. He's been on radio many times, done many interviews on TV and radio. He does great work. His name is Matt Staver. Matt is the founder and president of Liberty Counsel, which is an international nonprofit litigation, education, and policy organization basically dedicated to advancing religious freedom and the sanctity of life and the sanctity of the family. And this has been going on since 1989. He's been doing this work, been doing pro bono legal work on these kinds of topics, helping a lot of people out, not just Christians, but certainly a lot of work on behalf of evangelical Christians when facing pressures and things from organizations like the ACLU and even universities and local municipalities. Matt, want to welcome you to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
I should also mention that Matt is vice president at Liberty University. He's also the dean and professor of law at Liberty University School of Law. But I also note, Matt, that Liberty Counsel has offices in Florida, Virginia, Texas, Washington, D.C., and Jerusalem, Israel. So where are we talking to you?
Well, today I'm in Virginia. Tomorrow I will be in Orlando.
Wow.
And I was recently in Israel as recently as about 10 days ago.
That's really cool. And we wanted to talk to you.
And I was also in Washington, D.C., by the way, so I'm all over the place.
Well, after Jerusalem, Israel, Washington, D.C., I just kind of pales, you know, a little bit by comparison.
Absolutely. You know, I already miss Israel, and I'm looking forward to our next trip back to the Holy Land.
And I was looking at the Liberty University School of Law website and noted that just a couple weeks ago you wrapped up a class on Israel law and policy.
That's right. In fact, we just launched our Israel law, Israel and Middle Eastern law and policy course at the law school, and we had a professor from Israel come to the campus of Liberty University for 1 week of intensive, and then we all got together on an airplane and we flew over to Israel, and we were there for 2 weeks for both touring and instruction, both in classroom and particularly on all of the sites. So we visited all of the biblical, historical sites and had a wonderful spiritual refreshment and encouragement. But we also visited with many of the leaders, Mark Regev, who is the spokesman for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke to us privately, and did a fantastic job. And we met with people in the Israeli Army, the Air Force, and we actually were on the Air Force base in the Valley of Jezreel as part of one of our briefings there, and this is right near Mount Carmel, where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal,
not far away
from Mount Megiddo.
That's right, and that's basically going to be ground zero at some point in probably the not-too-distant future. Now, was this your first time in Israel?
No, it was my seventh trip to Israel, but and we'll be going back quite frequently. We have launched, as of last year, a program both for Liberty Counsel, and then this year for the law school, different programs. For Liberty Counsel, we launched a program called Liberty Ambassador Counsel, and it is designed to take people to Israel for maybe 10 days, for example, as a usual trip, and during that time to really strengthen your Christian faith and also equip you to become a goodwill ambassador for Israel. And we combine the touring of the biblical sites and the spiritual component that many tours have with also having different people from the prime minister's office to the Knesset to other political leaders in the cabinet or the judiciary with the Israeli Supreme Court, military officials, business leaders, and others come and speak to our group or our group comes to their location. Like in this case, we went to the Israeli Supreme Court and spoke to one of the justices. We went to the Knesset and we watched a session in progress. We spoke with Mark Regev, who's the spokesman for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We went to the Israeli Air Force Base.
That's fantastic.
We do other things that are not typical as part of your tours, and so it really gives you a breadth of information. And in addition to the biblical historical sites, you get a chance to hear from the leading experts on a wide variety of issues in Israel, and so you come back with a real appreciation of the breadth of the issues and information and come back to be a goodwill ambassador for Israel.
Well, that sounds like such a rich program. Now, Matt, let me ask you this. Your love and support of Israel, you are very much pro-Israel. Is that something that, I mean, you can point back, there was a genesis where this kind of, excuse the pun, but it kind of developed, or have you always had a heart for the Jewish people and for Israel?
Well, you know, it's something that developed over time. And, of course, you know, scripturally we see in Genesis chapter 12, those who bless, you know, when Abraham is being addressed there, that those who bless his offspring, they will be blessed, and those who curse them, God will curse them. And you see this down through history, and you see these admonitions within the Scripture and these teachings in the Scripture about Israel and the Jewish people. But really what ultimately did it for me was being there. And you can't help, once you start to study this from a biblical and historical perspective, but when you're actually there and you're in the land and you see the miracles of the land and you see the history of how the land and the Jewish people have survived through so much adversity and you talk to the people, one of the things that it does for me and what it did for me is it deepened my Christian faith significantly, and it broadened my perspective in many ways. So you can't help but become a goodwill ambassador for Israel after going there. You know, what I say to people is that Israel really brings together the central focus of all that we care about and know about. It is the origin of our faith. This is where our Christian faith began. It's where Judaism began, where monotheism began. Monotheism, people take it for granted, but it was incredibly transformative in terms of our values. And if you think about, you know, having different pagan gods warring against each other, no order in the universe, just you're at the whim of the caprice or the power or the individual personal goals of these gods, and you're just a pawn in that mix. What does that do for you? It shows that you have nothing to rely upon. And if you have monotheism, where there is a God, one God, God of the universe, the creator of everything, it ultimately changes all kinds of things in terms of your past, your present, your future, morality. It is the basis on which inventions were discovered, like Newton and others. They believed that there was a God who created, and as a result of that, there was order in the universe, and therefore you could discover. You just had to continue to search, but you could discover the order within the universe.
Well, yeah, and you know, the same God who laid out the universe in such magnificent order is the same God who says, I have set Jerusalem at the center of the nations with lands around her. And, you know, as you look at a globe or a map and you see where Israel is, right there at the center of three supercontinents, you get the idea that God wanted Israel to have contact with the nations of the world and vice versa.
Oh, yeah. And then when you go there and you begin to realize how small that land is, and yet how influential that land has always been through history. And you see the surrounding nations around it, and you visit the sites that you've read about in scriptures. You know, this is where our scriptures were written. This is where our faith was ultimately begun, where the prophets of the scriptures, ultimately wrote these prophetic Bibles and the scriptures that we have today. It is where not only Jesus was born, but also where he ministered up in the Galilee, in the Tiberias area, where he ultimately went to Jerusalem and he was crucified, died, and was buried and resurrected again. It's where, you know, the Holy Spirit was given. And it is from that land that the Apostle Paul, when he was in Caesarea Maritima, and he appealed to Festus, "I appeal my case to Caesar." It is from that shore where we were that he was sent to Rome. And the gospel then went from those shores to Rome. And eventually, of course, the gospel came to the United States of America. So we are inextricably linked historically with our faith and the values of Judeo-Christianity that transformed Western civilization, spread through Europe, and came to the United States. It is those values that make and found the very foundation of America. So when you talk to people like Benjamin Netanyahu or others, we had private meetings with him last year, and they understand that we are inextricably linked, Israel and the United States, as an example, because of those common shared values. Because of those common shared values, we also have common threats to those values.
That's
some
right.
of the things that they're experiencing, we experience. And that's why, you know, historically we're linked, and of course Israel has and must always remain our greatest ally, and we must stand for and with Israel.
Well said, well said. You know, you were mentioning Caesarea Maritima. I was in Israel in 2006. It was my only time thus far. But I remember that they had on display there an inscription that has the name Pontius Pilate.
Right.
And it's just, it's magnificent to actually, you're right, to walk where all of these things happen. Well, let me ask you this. You talk about there's just something about being there where you're getting the whole picture. Is it safe to say, Matt, that we're not getting quite the whole picture about the Israel-Palestinian conflict in the mainstream media?
No, we're not. And in fact, you know, you hear the word settlement and you hear the word refugee camp. If I asked you to draw me a picture of what you would consider a refugee camp, you would consider some, like, Bedouin tent out in the middle of a desert, people just dying and suffering. And if I asked you to look at, draw me something that you would consider a settlement of an occupier, for example, you would probably have these shanties and so forth. And what you ultimately find is that the so-called refugees are not refugees after all. They're living in, you know, the Palestinians are living in well-built big houses. You wouldn't think of those as refugees. And when you look at settlements, they say these are Jewish, Israeli Jewish settlements in the occupied territory. Well, the fact of the matter is that I just drove through one the other day, 30,000 people, a very modern area. Half of Jerusalem is part of the so-called, you know, Palestinian control or the Palestinian claim. If you look at, we have three students right now that are still there, and they are doing an externship with three major areas of Israel. They are living with a former former advisor to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the first term of his prime minister. They're living in a place called Tekoa. It's where the prophet Amos lived. It's where Amos prophesied in chapter 9 that God would bring his people back and they would grow vineyards. Well, guess what that's called by the media? The West Bank.
West Bank.
The dreaded West Bank. You know, if there is a West Bank, then there's only one river in the entire world that has a West Bank but doesn't have an East Bank. And, you know, when you go to, for example, to the north, and you hear, say, for example, President Obama saying to the Israel nation, they need to go back to the 1967 borders. Well, I walked there where I could almost throw a stone into Israel. We were that close to the borders of Israel, Syria in the north, the so-called Golan Heights, part of the 67 borders, if you will. If Israel were to give back territory to Syria, give back the north, give back the Golan Heights, you would ultimately bring Syria within a stone's throw of the Sea of Galilee. Part of the Sea of Galilee would be controlled by Syrians. The Syrians would control Caesarea Philippi, which is a major water source that feeds the Jordan. These are huge Christian sites that we would not be able to visit. But more importantly for Israel, it would be suicide to do that. It would absolutely be suicide.
It would be indefensible. In other words, Syria could launch rockets, and there literally would not be enough time to sound even the air raid warnings for people to get into shelters.
That's right. And if you look then at the West Bank, which is the Judea and Samaria area, In fact, the professor that came and taught us both here and there, he teaches at Ariel University, which is in Samaria, which is also in the West Bank. And if you were to give that away, then at its center part, Israel would only be 9 miles wide in its narrowest part. 9 miles wide. If you look historically at giving away land for peace, it's never worked. In fact, if you look at Gaza, where the Israel has withdrawn and given that over to the Palestinian Authority, that's a stronghold for terrorism. Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and Hezbollah, those kinds of organizations harbor there.
Yeah, in fact, the promise was, if Israel would just cede over Gaza to the Palestinians and begin making these concessions, it'll be a big step on the way to peace. Well, no sooner did Israel give Gaza over to the Palestinians, within weeks, rockets are being launched from there against the Israelis, and the beautiful gardens and such, the farms that Israel had set up while they were there, were just let go to pot. I mean, these things just
And if you go back in history, before Mark Twain visited the area, he said this is a desolate area. It was a desert. It was when some people were occupying or living in the land, and it was just desert. It wasn't until the Jews started to migrate to Israel that they actually began to till the land, and now you've got some of the best of vegetation. You've got amazing situations that are taking place. You've got hot and cold vegetation that grows on one side of the road and on the other side of the road. You've got watermelons on one side, which is a warm vegetation. On the other side of the road, you'd have a cold weather vegetation like apples or something like that that's growing on the other side. We don't do that in the United States, and yet they grow side by side there. It's just the incredible miracles of what has happened there in Israel through history and certainly since 1948 are just undeniable.
Now, let me ask you this. I want to shift gears for a minute. I want to explore this with you for a few minutes about why you believe Christians should be pro-Israel. But even before we get to that, I really want to get your take on something. It was just a couple months ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu came to the United States, was a guest at the White House, was ushered in the side door, was not even brought in with the customary diplomatic, welcome of a head of state. He was brought in a side door. And then I guess he and President Obama were talking. They apparently were not having a meeting of the minds. And President Obama just left him to sit there and went off to have dinner with Michelle. And I'm just curious your take, because my understanding is this is unprecedented in terms of an American head of state treating an Israeli head of state with that level of disrespect.
There is no question that this president and this administration have treated Israel in probably the worst way, certainly in our history, and of any president since Israel became an independent nation in 1948. It is outrageous how this president has treated Israel. You know that the president has visited some of these Muslim leaders, but he has never flown Air Force One. It's never landed in Israel. It's never landed at the Tel Aviv airport, or he's never gone to that nation. Our greatest, just imagine this, just put aside biblical issues for a moment. Our greatest ally in the Middle East, bar none, our best friend that we could possibly have and most loyal friend in the Middle East, bar none, is Israel. And yet the president has never stepped foot in that land to pay a visit to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or spoken to the Knesset there. And when Benjamin Netanyahu has come to the United States, he has treated him, I believe, with disdain, and certainly has not given him the respect that he is due. Mm. That is atrocious. I can tell you that politically it is a terrible situation. It undermines our strength in the Middle East with regards to how that is being done. And also from a biblical standpoint, that has consequences as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't want to be on the wrong side of history when this age of history is all wrapped up and God is blessing Israel once again. And according to the prophet Zechariah, turning his anger on the nations that tried to destroy Israel, we certainly don't want to be on the wrong side of divine history in that regard. Which, let me segue then into this question to you, Matt. Why should Christians be pro-Israel, in your opinion?
Well, I think there's two reasons. I think there's a biblical reason, and there's also non-biblical reasons. And some people, they might get a little nervous on the biblical reasons because some people might be more favorable towards what they call replacement theology, that the church has completely displaced Israel, and therefore there is no Israel, and there's no need to have any pro-Israel sentiment. But if you look at the scriptures, you know, God has many promises in the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. And in the scriptures, God has many promises that he gave and covenants that he gave to Israel. And he has not broken those promises. There are some promises he might say, like to Nineveh, if they repent, you know, then God withholds the destruction that comes there. But the promise to Abraham wasn't a promise that was conditional. When Abraham was ultimately called by God, God gave the promise in Genesis chapter 12 in verse 3, those who bless you and your seed, I will bless, and those who curse you and your seed, I will curse. If you look through history, and you can go through many, many other situations like that, you can go through prophecies, just like I talked about in Amos chapter 9, which that prophecy has become true. My friend lives where Amos actually prophesied his people would return and grow vineyards, and there's vineyards growing there now, and he has a lemon tree in his backyard. It's a miracle in itself. But if you look through history, even come up to the Roman time, have you ever met anybody who can trace their lineage back to the time of Rome and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD? I don't know of anybody. You look at these countries and these nationalities and these nations and these languages through history, and many of them have just become extinct. They no longer exist, especially those that have raised up against Israel. How many people trace their ancestry back to the Babylonians? You know, those nations that ultimately raised up against Israel ultimately were conquered and destroyed. Mm-hmm. And yet Israel has survived. The Jewish people have been scattered throughout history. They were scattered by the Babylonians. They came back. They were scattered again. They came back. They were scattered again. And then amazingly, in 1948, lo and behold, they declare independence as an independent nation. You know, Hitler tried to destroy them in the Nazi Holocaust. And in 1948, right after that, first of all, the scriptures were discovered in Qumran in 1947, that were the oldest examples of scriptures of the book of Isaiah, for example, that we have on record. They were compared to what we have, and it was the same. And then several months later, Israel becomes an independent nation. And they have continued to persist. They are in the midst of a very hostile territory surrounded by Islamic-dominated countries.
Yep.
And yet God has still continued to bless them. How they ultimately won the 67 war is absolutely just a miracle.
It's the work of God. It really is. Well, Matt, we're just about out of time, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to come on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Folks, you can learn more about Liberty Council by going to lc.org, LC for Liberty Council, lc.org. Matt Staver is the founder and director of Liberty Council. And Matt, we sure appreciate you taking the time to share your perspective on Israel and why Christians should be supportive of Israel. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you. And if people want to join us next year, we're going May 18 through 27, 2013.
There you go, folks.
Life-changing experience.
Oh, absolutely. And boy, I'd love for all of our listeners to be able to go to Israel. Well, folks, we want to invite you to the Shema Yisrael Bible Study tonight at 6:30. Again, you can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.